My name is Steve Mahone, and in early 2020, I weighed 400 pounds. Feeling stuck, helpless, and outright depressed, I decided it was time to make a change. This is my journey to get healthy and reclaim my life. This is The Before Picture.
Thanks for tuning in. This is The Before Picture with Steve Mahone. Gotta say, everybody, I'm very happy right now because I did it. Last time I weighed in November 2020, at my lowest weight, I was 287.4 pounds. A gentleman's 287, but as of this morning, weighed in 286.8, a whole 0.6 pounds lower than what I was. So really, this is kind of the perfect time to pick the cast back up. So it's not a huge swing in either direction that y'all can experience, just for me personally. So big win for me right now. I'm kind of slated to hopefully lose, I don't know, a pound and a half, maybe every week. Overall goal, I guess, would have been 10 pounds a month, but I don't know if that's all that sustainable. So I'm thinking about reducing it, especially if I'm focusing more on the weight training like I talked about last time. So, but today, what I wanted to talk about is what I'm doing specifically. I think I mentioned it last time where I said that talk about the workout specifically. So I'm going to talk about what I'm doing and specifically what I'm doing differently. My approach to working out while similar in many aspects to what I've done in the past when I was in pretty good shape, a supreme athlete, if you will. But what I'm doing this time is definitely based on a different philosophy, and my methodology is just vastly, you wouldn't even recognize it. It's different in both methodology and execution. So first, the history of my workouts. My first real exposure to working out was in the basement of the house I grew up in. My dad had a Soloflex. If y'all remember a Soloflex or like a Nordic Track, those are the things that I was familiar with when I was single-digit years old. The Soloflex, it had a bench, it had a pull-up bar, and he had two 25-pound dumbbells. Not much going on there for old 9-year-old Steve, but I was aware of them. I watched him do some curls, and that was it. Then came when I was wrestling, and my dad got me and my brother a trainer. Just so happens that this dude was kind of an older fella. He was a former Marine, and his name happened to be Gene. So we called him Gene the Workout Machine. I mean, this dude, he had arm tats, he had kind of gnarled teeth, and you didn't dare joke with him because he would just stare at you with that thousand-yard stare. He was intense, I'll say that. But his whole workout plan and what he kind of instilled upon us and put us through was very high rep, low weight, cardio working out, which is great for stamina, which is what he was all about. He wanted to be lean and all that. So he loved that kind of workout. I remember he used to brag that he would wake up in the morning and go on these really, really long runs with his two German Shepherds or Rottweilers or Pitbulls. It was a really tough animal, one of those ones you always imagine that it's like, oh, that guy, don't mess with him or his dog. They'll get you. So he would go on a 6-mile run, wear the dogs out, drop the dogs off at home. And then he would say, and once the dogs were pooped, I'd yell at him a bit and then continue on the rest of my run. Not yell at him in a mean way, but just kind of like, you wussies, and drop them off at home and give them some pets and then go back on the run, I'm assuming. But either way, that was a point of pride for him, was his stamina. If you want to imagine this dude, imagine if you know who David Goggins is. He's an ultra marathoner. He's a speaker. He has a podcast and all that. And he's like notoriously one of the most fit people in the world. Yeah, imagine him, but less approachable. That was Gene the Workout Machine. So he was all about stamina and cardio and being lean and sinewy. And he was so sinewy. And he made me throw up just quite a number of times just by sprinting up and down the stairs. And I would get done with however many times he said to do it. And he said, nah, let's go a couple more. Keep going. So then I'd have to go throw up a little bit and get back to it. But that's really what I knew growing up. So I played baseball and I wrestled. But those weren't really heavy lifting sports. So it was more endurance and, explosiveness. But then I started really lifting heavier when I started playing football my senior year. I didn't just elect to play football my senior year. That's the first year my school got it. So I started playing then, and it was a whole lot of fun. But we followed a program called Bigger, Faster, Stronger. We started lifting the summer before the season. So that was fun. And that the Bigger, Faster, Stronger program, I'll endorse it. I thought it was great. That's the first time I've really ever done serious bench press, squat, deadlift. You know, we'd have the records on the walls and everything. And it was great. And I will say, I did become all three of those things. I was bigger, I was faster, and I was stronger. I don't know how faster I was. I never really trained in speed that much. I more lumbered down the field and collided with people. That was more my forte. So I wish I had been doing that routine or something similar to it earlier. I wish I had started developing muscles for strength more than endurance earlier on, but here we are. Then I went to college, and that's when I started reading and researching how to work out and doing different exercises. And the real first step was when I got Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. I don't know if anybody, or I don't know how many people have either heard of this book or read it, but I have. And I specifically remember when I convinced my dad to buy it for me, because it was the four of us. It was me, my mom, my dad, my brother, and we were at the Barnes & Noble in the Inner Harbor in Baltimore, Maryland. And y'all would know exactly what I'm talking about, that Barnes & Noble, because it has the big guitar on it. It's the building with the big guitar on it, because there is also a Hard Rock Cafe that shares a wall. So I was in that specific Barnes & Noble, and I guess in the workout section. And if you've ever seen this Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, it is a thick tome. It's thicker than any Bible you've ever seen, except for like the overly large ones that are actually in churches on display. I mean, this thing is inches thick. So I finally convinced him after a little bit. I said, you know, I'll read it. I'll incorporate everything. I want to start lifting heavy and getting bigger. And he said, oh, okay, fine. And then I read it in the car. So then I got to college, and we actually had internet, because at that point at home, we had dial-up. And I'll tell you, this is in 2003, so it's not like we were behind the times. Having a dial-up internet in 2003, pretty par for the course. So don't feel too bad for me. I was the same as everybody else. We still had the stack of those 1,000 free hours AOL online CDs piled by our wired telephones that sit next to an actual physical phone book. So it was era appropriate, we'll say. But the gym in my college was pretty nice, and luckily for me, I found a good workout buddy. And if you listen to this podcast that I'm on right now, currently, and you are listening to me speak these exact words, then you've probably heard me on my other podcast, South of Classy, most likely because you know me personally and have my phone number. So I won't mention him by name, but my workout buddy was my co-host on South of Classy, so check it out. You can figure it out. I believe in you, dear listeners. So we got really into working out, building muscle, getting big. Alas, our overall knowledge base was a bit lacking, and I will be the first to admit that I am susceptible as a person to good marketing. So I, while having no money in the bank and having just gotten my first debit card only a few months prior at the Bank of America at Barracks Road Shopping Center in Charlottesville, Virginia, even though I just told you where I bank, which is, you know what? Let's just say I changed banks since then, so you don't know anything. Either way, I had no money. I had a debit card and graduation money in the bank. And now, because of marketing, I was spending all that money on like muscle tech products that included these pamphlets of dudes who were ripped, but totally on gear. And if you don't know what gear is, and to be quite frank with you, I only found out what gear is recently, like as in a couple months ago, it means steroids. So being on gear means people are roided out. And these models are roided out. But young, sweet, innocent little Steve was all, oh, if I just take this muscle tech Lukic and Gakic and this other pill that I can't remember the name of and follow these ridiculous workouts that they put in these to-go pamphlets and the GNC $80 combo pack, I can look like this dude. We'll call him Hank, who's on the cover. I mean, come on. Come on, Steve. So my buddy and I, we did ridiculous workouts that sometimes ended up doing like four drop sets of flies on the cable crossover machine. It was just total burnout of your muscle to the point where you're just overworking it. And your only saving grace is because you're young and you can recover from it. But nowadays, I would do my first set, tear something immediately, and have to go home and probably call my mom on the way saying, Mom, I did it again. I broke myself. So not the greatest. But after all that, and after I got injured a couple of years after college, you know, my spine hurt my spine, still dealing with that. I got out of shape for the good part of a decade, and that's where we are now. But after college, my workout buddy, instead of waiting tables at the Cheesecake Factory and stuffing animal skins full of cotton fluff at the Build-A-Bear, became a personal trainer. He studied the books, he passed the tests, he understood all the inner workings of how arms bend and stuff. So, working out, fitness, kinesthetics, they all became one of the great passions of his life. So, that means his knowledge base increased and his methodologies became more refined over the decade, where mine remained stagnant and pretty much deteriorated. So right now I'm operating off of, you know, what I used to know and starting to remember things and see what other people are doing in the gym. And I think, oh, let me try that. That looks like a fun little movement. Oh, you know what's new that didn't really exist that I knew of back in when I was 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago when I was in shape? That machine that you get on that you typically see ladies do, but I do it every single leg day, where you do like a donkey kick backwards and you do one butt cheek at a time. I do that every time now. I don't care. It's a good machine. Works that buttock. So this time around, when I talked to him about getting back in shape, and I've been talking to him about getting back in the gym and back in shape probably as soon as I fell out of shape. So I'm sure he got sick of it after a while, but this time around, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm getting serious about this. I need to know some specific workouts. What do you think I should do? You know my injuries, all that. So he said, all right, you know what you did do to get in shape, but this time, let's do things a bit differently. Like this time, you know, you've done what you've done in the past, and it's worked to a degree, but also, now you're not in your early 20s, you're in your mid to late 30s. So you've also gotten hurt a bunch of times, so let's change up the program. Which leads us basically to what I'm doing now. And this is a little bit modified of what he actually gave me, but it's been working for me so far. But the basic point is you hit your body a couple times a week. So before I was doing, you know, an entire day focused on arms, and then I wouldn't do it again for another week. And I would burn everything out with 12, 15, 20 rep sets and do drop sets and supersets and focus, but right now I focus on between doing 3 and 5 sets at 6 reps of 80% of my 1 repetition max. So I get the majority of the benefit of the burnout without expending that last 20% of my muscle capacity. So I'm able to recover quicker. I have less soreness, but the ability to work my muscles more and more often. You know, I've tried it the other way, but this time changing it up. And to be frank with you, lifting heavy but lower reps, it's the way to go, especially for me. It's more fun because you feel like an animal just throwing around the big weights. You're not dripping sweat, so you're not out of breath the whole time. Since I started lifting almost 3 months ago, I am certain I've gotten 300% stronger doing these workouts. So sure, they're noob gains because I haven't worked out in the gym for a decade plus, but I'm certainly enjoying them. I'm not dreading any grueling workouts, and I'm both of the gen words, excited for tomorrow's 6:30 a.m., 6 a.m. workout. And I think it's pretty great. I don't wake up excited because I wake up sleepy, but after probably 45 minutes of laying in bed and then getting up and getting vertical, moving just around a little bit and starting to get an orange in me, a little bit of pre-workout, you know, I start getting pretty excited about it. So basically I'm doing my entire body in 4 days instead of 7. And then I just start it over. So it's not Mondays are always chest days, Tuesdays are always back. It's just on a 4-day rotation. So whatever that day of the week is that it happens to fall on the new one, that's what happens. And when I started going to the gym again in mid-November, I started actively going back, and it's become something that I really look forward to. It's fun for me. I've always enjoyed lifting weights. I've always enjoyed being in the gym and feeling good because I was there. You know, I like doing the slow walk to the mirror, flexing just a little bit, you know, for the ladies. I mean, now they're not looking quite as much in my direction, but they will. They will. I have hope. So here's my split. First, every day I warm up on the treadmill, probably just 5 minutes, a little bit of an incline, but I'm usually lifting pretty early in the morning, so it's a way for me to get moving. I do a lot of warm-up sets before my primary exercise, and by a lot of, I mean two or three. Whether it's benching or leg press or rows or whatever, I always work up to my first actual working set, so that's just standard. Day one, and this is just the order that I follow at this point because there's no day one anymore. There was one day one. So day one, chest and triceps. Day two, back biceps. Day three, shoulders. And because I had to stick them somewhere, because I would get too tired on all the other days to put shoulders at the end, and I wanted to, you know, really concentrate on them. And I have very recently, in the past week or two, started incorporating abs. I hadn't been doing that for the past couple months, so now I'm actually putting them in there. So it's actually shoulders and abs day. And day four, legs and calves. 4 day rotation. Then, at the end of the majority of the workouts, I end with 10 minutes of uphill walking. Sometimes the lifting takes the whole time and I have to scoot out to the shower and go to work, but usually there's at least 10 minutes of uphill walking, if not more. So actually my buddy introduced me, that same buddy from earlier, you'll know him because his name is Buddy. My buddy introduced me to the concept of 12-3-30, which I'd never heard of before. And that's when you walk at 12% incline at 3 miles an hour for 30 minutes. Apparently, bodybuilders have been doing this forever, and it has more recently come into general knowledge, and people started to do it to burn fat. I have not done it yet, but what I have done is the 6-2.5-25, and I am basically a pro at the 6-2.5-25, and I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody who wants to challenge me on it. You get on the treadmill beside me, let's do a 6-2.5-25. I'll hang right in. So I settle in. I listen to a podcast on times two speed. And as soon as they're wrapping up with closing remarks in their 50-minute podcast that I just zoomed through, I'm hitting that 25-minute mark. Feeling pretty good about myself. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, I just did a 6-2.5-25. Not everybody can do this. Guess who deserves a protein shake? It's this guy. It's me. So I'll usually do all that and do my entire rotation and all that. And I've been working out 13 out of 14 days. So I, on average, take 1 day off every 2 weeks. And yeah, I obviously it's only been 3 months. So, you know, you can multiply that out however you want to. But I don't take 1 day off a week because sometimes I'm just not ready to rest yet. But for some reason, when I do take one off, and it's usually just how I'm feeling, it's not usually a planned day off. It's just like me feeling especially tired or couldn't fall asleep till 3 a.m. or something like that. For some reason, usually happens on a Monday. And it may be because on the weekends, like Saturdays and Sundays, I get to the gym right as it opens because it's not a 24-hour gym. It's a pretty big gym that has to maintain a decent number of staff, I guess. But I get there right when it opens at 7 and 8 o'clock. Respectively on Saturdays and Sundays. And because I enjoy being in there and I enjoy working out, I give myself a nice long workout, not having to rush through and not having to get to work, not having any responsibilities until usually at least the early afternoon. So I can take an hour and a half or an hour 45 if I really want to. So before I get out of there. And maybe doing do that 2 days in a row on a Saturday and then again on a Sunday is it makes me tired. I'm like, I need to not go in on Monday. I need to get a little extra sleep. But that's my routine right now, and I'm happy with it. So this one's running a bit long, but I wanted to just let everybody know, like what I said at the beginning, like this isn't just what I'm doing, it's what I'm doing differently, and why it's so starkly different from what I was doing in the past. Not just because my body can't recover the way it used to because of my age and additional injuries, but because it has allowed my mindset to be one that I am excited to go in and do these exercises. And I know that any given set, no matter how tough the exercise is, I only have to do 6 reps and then I can rest for a minute. So that helps me along. But if anybody has any questions or wants clarification or anything that they want me to go over again or talk about specifically, just let me know. You know, shoot me a message. I'll talk about it. I'm reachable at my email or DM me or whatever you want to do. Best email is contact@stevemahone.com. My Instagram, as I usually listed, is st.mahone. You can find updates on, you know, when new episodes are coming out, and we can take it from there. So thanks for listening. I appreciate everybody. Have a great weekend. I'm going to enjoy my two long workouts coming up Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be back buys, and Sunday, a big old shoulder ab day, and then probably 35 minutes on the treadmill. I'll listen to a podcast. You can listen to this one. That'd be great. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Talk to everybody Tuesday. Bye.